Well, I would like to begin this morning by thanking Dr. White for the opportunity that he has given me to be your guest speaker this morning. What an honor. It was actually on July 21st. This is my 10th year anniversary for having been hit by a flatbed construction truck, probably reported about going around 55, 60 miles an hour on Old State Route 35, on my way home from a meeting here that I had on campus, and I was struck at that time in that accident that I'm going to be addressing here with you this morning that Dr. White has asked me to talk to you about. I want you to know that I'd like to begin, though, with God's Word, and I'd like for us to turn to Psalms 37, verse 23. Again, that's Psalms 37, verse 23. And the steps, and God's word reads, "And the steps of man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I want you to know that I happen to believe with all my heart that I was to be hit by that truck that day because he directed my steps to be hit by that truck." I don't go into all the ifs. Well, you know, well, what if I had driven my car that day? What if I had taken my bicycle on a different route that day? I don't go into all the ifs. What gives me hope and peace, and in my case, real assurance, is God's word that states that, you know, I direct your steps. And in my case, he directed me to be hit by that truck. It's almost like yesterday that I can picture my face being in that passenger window of that truck. Why my head didn't go through that window, I have no idea. No idea. But it was the mirrors. It was the mirrors. You know, a truck typically has wide mirrors on it. And it was the mirrors that hit me and pole vaulted in for me into what I'll call like a corn soybean drainage ditch, the big ditches that you see around Cedarville that come off of the fields. And that's where I laid. I laid in that ditch in total darkness, total darkness. And I want to tell you that being in that ditch, I thought for sure that I was going to pass away, but I felt totally, my situation was totally hopeless. But the Lord God brought these passages of scripture to mind to me. And they go something like this: "Dear God, I know that you have chosen me in Christ before the foundation of the world. Dear God, I know that you have prepared a place for me. Dear God, I know that you love me with an everlasting love. Dear God, I know that you're present in my time of need. Dear God, I know that you'll never leave me or forsake me." Those were the passages of scripture that came to mind when I laid in that ditch that the Lord provided that gave me comfort. I also want you to know that as I laid in that ditch, I also felt that my situation, I felt totally helpless. In that, I wish that I could have stood up. I wish that I could have stood up because I would have been interested in waving somebody down and letting them know that I was in that ditch, and maybe they could have helped me. But I wasn't able to stand up. I also wanted to be able to yell out for help, but I wasn't able to project my voice. But on the other hand, if you had been driving by that day and you heard somebody screaming, that was probably me. I also heard people's voices, people talking. And at one point in time, it was a woman that came down in that ditch, and she put her hands around my head, put her hands between my head and the ground, and supported my head, and she began to ask me questions. And I can tell you right now that I don't know that I responded well to her questions. I wasn't able to put my thoughts together and really have any kind of conversation with her. But this is what I want. What I thought about later, and that is this: the fact that in Luke, it's in chapter 10, actually, We have the account of the Good Samaritan, do we not? The Good Samaritan that comes upon a man who had been beaten, robbed, stripped, and left half dead. Well, let me tell you that when I think of that passage, I think of that woman coming along and helping me. But I also know that I may not have been beaten up by a man or a group of men, as in that account of Luke 10, but I was viciously violated and assaulted by a truck. And I've been told in my recovery that I need to recognize the significance of that, even though it wasn't a person or a man or a group of men that had beaten me up. And of course, I was left in that ditch, half dead. Well, I want you to know, as what happened in my case, I was taken to Miami Valley Hospital. Miami Valley Hospital is a fairly large hospital in downtown Dayton. And that's where that kind of became my home for a while. But I was put in the emergency room, wouldn't be surprised by that note. And I want to tell you that for the first time I saw light when I was in that emergency room, because I could identify somebody at my feet, I could identify somebody at my head, and I could identify people at both sides of me. But what I wanted to share with you is that I recognized that my arm was somewhat awkwardly above my head, thinking, what? You know, for the moment that I was awake there for an emergency, on that table, I was on that table because they were going over my body inch by inch. But I recognized that my hand was awkwardly up over my head, and I thought, why would my arm be up like this? So out of position, because they were stitching it. Which causes me to pause for a moment to just tell you about my injuries for a second. I was on pain medications. Did you hear me? I said pain medications, plural. Pain medications that are multiple times more potent than morphine, because I was in such horrific pain by being hit by that truck going 55, 60 miles an hour. But my injuries that I sustained was that I broke my left wrist, I slid open my left arm, that bled pretty profusely, cracked or broke my left ribs, broke a bone in my leg, but my foot swelled like a melon. And they could not find reasons for why it was, there was nothing broken in it. And why I wanted to share that with you is because some of you know what I'm talking about. When I look at you and I say, you've had injuries, and you've wondered, what is broken here? But it's not broken, but it hurts so bad. That was the case with my foot. I ended up eventually being put in one of the floors at Miami Valley Hospital after the emergency room. And I want you to know, as I learned later where I was, they put me in the trauma unit. The trauma unit. I thought to myself when I was able to think through that, why the trauma unit? I mean, Miami Valley Hospital was a fairly large hospital. And then it came to aware to me that indeed the trauma unit is very appropriate, because the ratio of patients to doctors is very low, and I needed a lot of medical attention. Secondly, trauma unit. I'm a recipient of firsthand trauma now. I needed the help from the medical, from the staff on that floor to begin to process through what it was like to have to deal with trauma now, not just medically, but emotionally, by being on that floor. I'm now into my second week, of being at Miami Valley Hospital in the trauma unit, and they learn now that I'm internally bleeding to death. So emergency surgery is scheduled, and what happens is that I'm going to demonstrate. I have an incision, okay? Where your rib cage comes in my right here, there's a point here, a tender spot for us. Right here, is where my incision begins. My incision begins right here below my rib cage, right here in this soft spot, and goes about three to four inches below my navel. So they slice, open me up, because I'm internally bleeding to death. I need, can I borrow one of your water bottles? I just thought of something. I want to demonstrate. Thank you, Mary. I want to demonstrate something. I won't drink from it either. Okay. They didn't remove 1 liter of blood. And by the way, this is not a liter. Correct, Mary? This is not a liter. I'm just saying. They didn't remove 1 liter of blood. They didn't remove 2 liters of blood. They removed 2.5 liters of blood from me. I needed blood transfusions to live. And if you don't understand the amount of blood that is, you need to talk to, one of your medical classmates to come to the point of understanding the significance of that amount of blood. I want you to also know that when they had me opened, that in fact they found out that my colon was bruised. They adjusted my intestines, and they removed my spleen. My spleen was the organ that was seeping all of that blood in me. So knowing that I don't have a spleen now, what's interesting about the spleen is that the spleen collects blood cells that in fact will fight a bacterial infection. So what happens now is that if I were to cut my finger and I get an infection, I don't have the ability to fight that infection. I need to get an antibiotic. I need to be on medication. And that'll be the case for the rest of my life. I've now made it through surgery. By the way, I don't know if you know this. I'm 0-2 in predicting my death. I thought for sure I would pass away in that ditch. And there was no way that I would ever have made it through surgery. I thought when I went into surgery, I would never live through that surgery. But here I am coming out of surgery now, and what they do, how do you think they close me up? They use staples. And they don't use staples that you would get from a stapler and put papers together when you turn in an assignment to me. No, they use big construction-sized staples, big staples. They staple you, and yes, even below my navel. They staple. If you don't think that's uncomfortable or painful, see me afterwards. I'll tell you this. Any of you that would be sitting in your chairs and thinking, well, I think I might move a little bit? No, you wouldn't. If not, if you have those staples in you, you would stay stationary. I'm going to tell you, you would not be moving around. I'm coming out of surgery. I'm in recovery. I think most of you can relate to this. You've seen this probably on TV or in a movie. When a person comes out of recovery, you typically see them on a bed, their IV poles, correct? There's medical people, they're transporting people that are going to get you to, in my case, back to the trauma unit. But I want you to hear this rest of this what I'm about to tell you. They are moving me, they are transporting me to my room. My IV pole gets caught in the doorway. John, they already know the punch. My IV, let me start again. Your pause there kind of threw me off, okay? My IV pole gets caught in the doorway. There in the hospital. You know your IV pole is connected to a line. Your line runs down to a big needle that's in your arm. Now, most needles, don't lose me here, folks. Most needles, when they put them in, they pull them out the same way, right? If you give blood, they put it in and pull it out. Not in my case. Do you know what happens? That needle, I hope everybody's listening. That needle gets pulled back the opposite direction and rips. This isn't supposed to be funny. And rips my skin, rips my vein, and I am a total mess in the hallway of Miami Valley Hospital. I am a total mess. We're not done here, folks, yet. Hang in here. I didn't know that this was going to be a comic relief time for us. I'm going to tell, it's not, that's chapter one. I get back in my room, and I want you to know that I'm just coming out of recovery. I'm just coming out of recovery. Please don't forget that. Major, major surgery. I see this styrofoam cup of water. And not a little one, a big one. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I would just love a sip of that water. I'm able to get it with my right hand. Well, I would never have been able to do it with my left hand because my left wrist is broken, my arm's messed up, but I can get it from my right arm, my right hand. I bring that styrofoam cup over to me, and I end up drinking a sip of that water. And it is so refreshing. And I think to myself, I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to go back and do that again. I'm going to leave it with me. I'm on my back, so I put it on my chest. Remember, I'm in my bed. I put it on my chest amongst my staples, and I balance it there with my hands. But the problem is I end up falling asleep. I want to ask you this. I have a question. When you are reading a textbook in the majors that are, many majors that are represented here today, what happens to your textbook when you end up falling asleep? Now, this would not happen with a social work textbook. I understand that. But the rest of you, your textbook falls. Your textbook falls. It wouldn't happen for a social work textbook. With the rest of it, it falls. Guess what happens to my water? It spills. I get drenched. A big glass of water. Styrofoam cup. I get drenched. So I get a hold of the nurse's station. The nurse comes in. I tell her, I'm cold. I'm shivering. I don't feel good. Remember, I'm just coming out of recovery. She says, I'll get you another blanket. She puts that blanket on me. It did the trick because I then fell asleep. But the next morning, Mrs. Huff comes in. Well, she normally would come in early every morning because she wants to be there when the medical team changes, you know, where they do different shifts, because she wants to be at the foot of my bed to hear what they're going to be saying about me. So she greets me and says, George, I mean, you're up. What are you doing up? I mean, I would never be up at that hour. It's probably an hour that none of you have been up at either. But anyway, there is a morning hour, okay, for some of you that don't. That was supposed to be funny. Nobody responded. But you laugh when I talk about my incision. Okay. Now, when it comes to Mrs. Huff coming over, greeting me, she says, what's wrong? And I said, I told her the same thing I just told you, not to be redundant here. And she says, well, let me come over and check you out. So she comes over. And she lifts off, she sees the blanket the nurse has put on me, and she says, well, this George is pretty damp. I can see why it's not insulating you now, keeping you warm. Oh my goodness, she pulls that one, sees the one that this water spilled in. She says, wow, she says, that is totally soaked. She pulls that back, she sees this my sheet and says, wow, that is really wet. She pulls back my sheet and goes, oh, George, your hospital gown, it is dripping in blood. They never changed you after your accident in the hallway. How can that happen? How can this happen? And besides the fact that it's dripping in blood, it's soaking wet. They never changed you after the accident in the hallway. Now, if you're taking notes, these are Cedarville students, are they not? They're taking notes. But if, in the event that you would please remember this, I am not here to bash Miami Valley Hospital. I received very good care there. But this is what I want to say to you. I want to say to you, when we make mistakes, did I just get done saying we? Let me raise my hand. When I make mistakes, matter of fact, let me raise both of my hands. And if you don't believe me, ask my social work students. I make mistakes all the time. But isn't it honoring unto the Lord that we own up to our mistakes? When we drop the ball, when we make mistakes, we want to be known for being men and women of integrity. Please keep that in mind of who we are in Christ, that we want to be known for men and women of integrity. I had many conversations with doctors. I'm going to share one. I had a doctor that came up to me, and he had his chart with me, and he said, I'm seeing that you are actually walking at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. What's that about? And I said, well, by the way, I need a student that would volunteer to come up and be my nurse. Would one of you? Yes. And what an honor. Well, I'm saying to the doctor, I wake up at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning because I have to go to the bathroom. Well, I need to contact the nurse's station to help me out of my bed, to get me over to the bathroom. When I'm done, my nurse is waiting there, gets me out of bed, gets me over to the bathroom. She's waiting at the doorway of the bathroom. When I'm done, I come out, and I look at her, and I say, would you be willing to go for a walk with me?
Yes.
Thank you. You get extra credit. And she says yes. So what I do is that I'm now going to go for my walk, and what I'm looking to do is I will put my left arm up around her shoulder. She's going to put her right arm around my waist. Where we're headed is out in the hallway, because I'm looking to walk out. She's very careful with me, getting me out of my room, and I'm looking to reach for the hallway railing, correct? That way I can brace myself. And so we're walking down the hall. I grab hold of the hallway railing. She is very careful in getting me back across the hallway. And by the way, I only can make a couple steps. I never, ever made it to my neighbor. Never made it to my neighbor's room. I always wanted to see who was my neighbor. Never made it. We would cross the hallway. She's very careful getting me back across the hall. I grab the railing now again with this hand. I'm walking down. I'm doing what we're doing right now. We get back into my room. Thank you. And I'm back in my room, and I'm now back in bed. So I look at the doctor, and the doctor says to me, that's all very interesting, but what do most people do when they wake up at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and they need to go to bed? What do they do afterwards? I said to him, I know the answer to that. They go back to bed. He says, that's right, but not you. What gives here? Why, you're walking at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. What gives here? My wife is in the room. She's just thinking this is the best conversations that she's heard in a long time. She's just having a grand time. She pipes up and says, you know, you've opened this window for my husband to walk, but not him. He takes that window and he opens it as high as he can get it. Why? Because he's such a driven man. Capital D, driven. He is such a driven man. He'll get up at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and walk when most people would only walk during the daytime because he's such a driven man. He says, well, that's interesting. So in the meantime, he's there going, you know, this is a great story. You know, I'm going to use, oh, I know what I wanted to say here. Why Mrs. Huff could say that is because we had, at the time of my accident, we had been married 40 years. 40 years plus five. Plus five. Now, my social work students, that some of them are here today, know what that five means. That means 5 years of dating. We have been together since we were 16. Now, keeping that in mind, we're from Western New York, from the Empire State. We're from Western New York. Our families live 7 miles apart from each other. We went to the same high school. We're the same age. We graduated from a class of 275. And yes, I walked Mrs. Huff to her classes. I carried her books. And I held her hand. That's why she can say to this doctor what she said to him, because she knows me so well, seeing that we've been together since we were 16. He says to me, you know, that's just a really fine story. You know, I'm going to flag your file here. This is kind of unique because next time and he's told me, I think he said to me, I've been practicing medicine in this hospital for 21 years. I haven't really come across a guy like you. He says, I'm going to note your file. Maybe it can be of help to somebody else. And he thanked me. He's now leaving. I want to point out, to keep moving here, gotta watch my time, that I'm now leaving the hospital. I left with four doctors caring for me. I left with an occupational therapist, a physical therapist, and a visiting nurse, all helping me in my recovery. I want you to know I did not come back to Cedarville University in the fall semester. I did not come back but part-time to Cedarville University in the spring semester. I didn't come back to Cedarville University full-time till the fall of 1 year later. And I'm going to tell you something right now that I haven't told many people. So I'm going to lean across the podium here. So this is under the dome of silence. Confidential. I came back to Cedarville University 1 year later as a frail man. Medically, physically, and spiritually, I was a frail man. But by God's grace, he saw me through my first year back. I want you to know that I mentioned about my emotional issues. I'm going to say this with regards to two things. I struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder. And if somebody right now were walking behind me and I didn't know them, that they were back there and they dropped a book, you know how loud a book could sound? You would be shocked over how I might react. I probably would do this. I might even say something. And why you might look at me and think, well, Professor Huff, that's kind of strange. It's been explained to me that I didn't know that truck was behind me. I didn't have any idea it was there. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. And I don't handle now surprises well. So I'm easily startled, easily scared in situations like that. So that's one issue. I'm just going to give you a couple. There are many more, but I'm just going to give you a couple. Another one, I am petrified of falling. I do not want to fall. And that's been explained to me that because of the way that truck hit me and I was pole vaulted into that drainage ditch, that in that course of my fall, I don't want to fall in where I am now in life. So many of my social work students know this, that if I have you in the winter months and I see something slippery on the sidewalk, icy, snowy, they know that I might tap them on the shoulder and say, can I grab hold of your arm? Because I do not want to fall. I don't want to fall. If Dr. White was here, I'd say, Dr. White, thank you for the strategic scheduling of me with these students, because now you're all on notification, because I could be the one that's going to come this winter, tap you on your shoulder, and you mustn't run from me. It's just me. It's just that I don't want to fall, and I just want you to let me take your arm, because I do not want to fall. I do not want to fall. I'd like us to turn real quick here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read these verses from God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to focus on verse 18, the fact that we need to give thanks in everything. I want you to know that today I'm giving thanks for being hit by a truck. Did you hear me? I am standing before you today giving thanks for having been hit by a truck. Because in Scripture it says I'm supposed to give thanks in all things. I'm not just giving thanks when I'm not hit by a truck. You know, it would have been very easy for me to go home to Mrs. Huff that day and say to her, you know, Ginger, I was almost hit by a truck. Do you know I could have been killed by a truck today? Do you know I could have had serious medical problems? Do you know I could have had some significant emotional problems? Let's give thanks to God for the fact that I wasn't hit by that truck. That did not happen for me, folks. I was hit by a truck. And yet today, I want to give testimony to the fact that I'm giving thanks for all things. Not just when I'm not hit by a truck, but when I am hit by a truck. I need to give thanks when I am hit by a truck, not just when I'm not hit by a truck. I want you to know that today, I can say that, and what I want you to hear is that I happen to believe that God is working. I mean, some of you might be saying, that's a little strange, Professor Huff, you'd be saying you're thankful for being hit by a truck, but I want you to know I say that because I recognize he's working his purposes out in my life. He's working out his divine counsel in my life. He knows what's best for me. He's does all things well and good in my life. He's working in me both to will and to do his good pleasure. From his hand comes all good and perfect things. That's why I can say that it's with thanksgiving that I'm thankful for having been hit by a truck, because he's working in me both to will and to do his good purposes. Dr. White, who's not here this morning, he came up to the hospital to see me. 10 years ago, Dr. White sat at the foot of my bed. And I don't know that I greeted him well. I don't know that I expressed my appreciation of him taking time out of his busy schedule to come in and see me and sit at the foot of my bed because of my brokenness. But I remember being on the side in my bed, broken as I was, and I could look down my body and the railing on the side of my bed, and I saw Dr. White, and I said to him, Dr. White, my being hit by a truck today was for my good and his glory. And that was all I said, and I was out. In my brokenness, I couldn't say anything more. That was it. My thought for you this morning is this. You are going to experience trucks in your life. It's my prayer that you will not be hit literally by a truck like I have been. But you are going to experience in life being hit by a truck. You might have a family issue that comes up and feels like you've been hit by a truck. You may have a church matter that comes up in your life that feels like you've been hit by a truck. You might have a financial matter that comes up in your life that you feel like you've been hit by a truck. What about an emotional issue? A medical issue? This is the question I have for all of you. I trust that you'll ponder in your hearts today. Would I ever give thanks for that? Will I ever remember to give thanks for those trucks in my life? I want you today to know that I stand before you this morning giving thanks for having been hit by a truck because it was for my good and his glory. Amen and amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for the opportunity that I've had to meet today in chapel. I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it gives us comfort and assurance and peace and hope. Dear God, help us to give thanks in all things. Not just when we're not hit by the truck, but when we are hit by the truck in life. Because you are doing what is best for us. Because from your hand comes all good and perfect things. I just ask your rich blessing upon these students now as they leave for the day that they, for the walk that they have with you. Might they be so inclined to settle their minds upon things above and not here on earth. For it's in your precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you.